Louis, where they stopped over for 24 hours, and one more day to Crosstown, just over the line in Wisconsin.
Long way. Guess we can make a good speed all the way.
5 days in total.
A nearby sailor turned towards the Outlanders.
Depending on the weather and the river, best allow at least one day one way or the other. There's been bad trouble with a gang of muties all along the Mississippi the last month or more. We haven't been attacked. Not even triple stoop muties would try that, but smaller crafts and some settlements have been hit, and hit hard. You can see the smoke for 40 miles or more across the levees.
Does that mean we'll soon be off?
Means he's pissing steam at being late. Come on, let's get moving, folks.
Even Doc was profoundly impressed with the grandeur of the Golden Eagle.
By the three Kennedys. But she is undeniably a floating, gilded palace. I have never seen such magnificence.
Some of the main sections were obviously set up for some full-time gambling, the roulette, poker, and crap tables covered in off-white dust cloths. One corridor and a set of steps was closed off by a thick maroon velvet rope strung across, and four armed sec-men stood on casual guard, directing passengers around.
Stateroom's closed off, folks, for the duration. Sorry for any inconvenience, but you can get to where you're going real easy by taking the next stairs.
Everywhere Ryan looked, he saw a slightly tawdry opulence. Gold leaf overlaid ornate carvings of cherubs and angels, and languid half-naked women carrying spilling horns of fruit. The overhead lamps were almost all crystal chandeliers, though some of them needed a good cleaning. The carpets were a little faded at the corners, but they were thick and soft underfoot. Deep armchairs and long sofas, mostly with silk and satin pillows, were scattered throughout the vessel. Jack was leading the way.
Down here. These are the high 20s.
I believe that this is the port side of the ship. Yes. We need to be over on the river side. And they are seemingly getting ready to cast off the stern and bow lines. Let us make haste.
Jack disappeared around a sharp corner, beckoning them after him, moving past a section of open deck with a low rail backed by the huge stern wheel.
Here we go. 31 to 3.
The keys were in the heavy oak panel doors, with the numbers painted on in thick gold paint. Ryan stepped into the room.
Fire blast.
Even the luxuriant furnishings of the public areas hadn't prepared him for the stylish elegance of their suite.
Like the classiest damn gaudy and the biggest villa in Deathlands.
Dump the stuff and let's get out on deck. We got plenty of time to admire it later.
Ryan laid the Steyr rifle on the ruffled coverlet of the double bed, along with his traveling pack, and followed Christy into the cool morning air. The others came out of their rooms moments later.
Triple class, Ryan. Worth the risk of getting a jack back at the saloon. Never traveled so high on the hog.
There was a surprisingly large crowd lining the dock as the big boat slowly pulled away, the narrow gap of water widening, the river churning behind the paddle. Ryan leaned on the rail, finding a gap between a tall old man with a long white mustache, gold rings glinting on every finger, and what looked like a blonde ringletted child of 12, and a schoolgirl's short lacy skirt and straw hat. Only when Ryan glanced sideways at her did he realize that the whore wouldn't see 30 again.
There's Laura Stanwyck.
Where?
Standing by those crates. Looks kind of like she's trying to hide and look out for us.
He waved his hat.
Dolores!
But she didn't hear. She continued to peer up short-sightedly, not managing to see any of them on the deck. Gradually, they pulled out into midstream, turning around with a ponderous elegance, so that the blunt bow pointed toward Crosstown.
Excuse me, folks. May I have your attention? All passengers must retire to their cabins for an hour while the ship's cleared away, made ready for the cruise. Lunch will be served in the three restaurants from noon onward. Now remember, passengers traveling steerage on the lower decks are limited to the bronze room only for dining. Thank you.
You heard the man.
We eat in the gold or silver.
How do you know?
Christy picked up a heavily embossed invitation card from one of the mahogany and ormolu tables that perched on dangerously thin legs in a corner of the chamber.
Captain's table for supper.
Really? I'd be interested to meet him.
Look, Captain Melville Houston welcomes you to dine at his table this evening at 7 of the clock. casual clothes would not be fitting.
I've only got casual clothes. They want evening dress?
Your clothes are clean and neat, lover. I can't see them turning us away.
You think the others have all got an invite from the captain as well?
Christy put the card down again on the polished veneer table.
Ask them later.
They had a small balcony with sliding doors. Ryan stepped out onto the narrow strip of deck. With partitions at either end, they had a surprising amount of privacy and a wonderful view, high up out across the diminishing skyline of Twin Forks.
Hey, this is something.
He automatically checked to see what was above them, but the side rose sheer to what he guessed had to be the top-priced staterooms, the ones guarded by the cold-eyed sec men.
What are we going to do for the next hour, lover?
Christy glanced around the over-elegant room.
There's a big bowl of complimentary fruit and a bottle of wine. Could make a start on that.
Ryan looked across at her, smiling at the sheer beauty of the shafts of sunlight spearing through the louvered windows, setting fire to Christy's red hair.
Oh, I got a better idea.
Sure you're up to it? Still probably weak from your time down the river, lover.
Best kind of medicine I ever heard of. Shall I pull the drapes?
No, leave it. Nice to have both some light and some privacy.
After lunch, the companions retired to one of the gambling saloons to sit in brocaded armchairs to drink real coffee from tiny porcelain cups, included in the price of the tickets.
It is an odd thought, but it reminds me curiously of a high-born and enormously wealthy and stylish member of the decadent Russian court fallen on hard times. Just a little frayed and tawdry around the edges, despite all the glitter and brilliance that catches the eye.
Ryan understood what Doc was saying. The Golden Eagle obviously deserved her reputation as the grandest and most expensive of all the sternwheelers that plied the big river. Everywhere was luxury. Though the long trip upriver had been going on for only about 6 hours, the gamblers, of both sexes, were already locked into their pleasures.
None of them looked like they're having fun. Like convention morticians.
Ryan sat back, watching the surface of the dark coffee vibrate gently, like everything on board the boat. Christy laid her hand on his arm.
Feel good, lover? Relaxing a while?
Yeah. Can't deny it's a classy operation. And I can't deny that I'm already enjoying taking it easy. The last few weeks have been ice on granite for me.
Me too. The worry when we thought that we weren't going to be able to find...
Ryan glanced sideways, seeing a single tear glistening in the corner of one of her brilliant emerald eyes. He laid the empty cup on the table in front of them and squeezed her hand.
That's over now. And we're together again.
Doc was sitting in a sunlit chair, his lids drooping, gnarled hands unfolding around the lion's head hilt of the ebony swordstick.
Someone's ready for an afternoon sleep. Can't say I blame him. Something about the rhythm of the boat that lulls you along.
Mildred patted JB on the arm.
How do you feel about the idea of retiring to our cabin for an hour or so, John?
The armorer blinked, pushing back the brim of his fedora.
I'm not going to be able to stand the pace of another 3 days upriver and all the way back again. Too much high living. Just not used to it.
Don't have to come all the way back to Twin Forks. Been looking at the map. We can leave at Crosstown and then cut across country back toward the redoubt in Tennessee. Or travel halfway south again. Might make it easier.
Gaia! I can't believe you, Ryan. I truly can't. We are having our first good time in a long while. Halfway through the first day, you're talking about making plans to get off and vanish into Deathlands again. What is the point of all this?
All right. Sorry, love. You're right. Just that I get kind of prickly sitting in comfort with all this fat tricked over food. Not really my style.
Putting on the style, are we? By God, but we are, my trusty companions. We'll go no more a-roving so far into the night. Or should we? This floating gilded palace of sin brings back so much of my early life that I almost expect to see my dearest Emily poised at the head of the grand staircase in her finest ball gown of salmon pink silk, her tiara glittering, osprey fan in gloved fingers, her kind eyes seeking me out. It is enduringly painful, dear friends, as though the